Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
Hello there, welcome to a brand new Arseblog Arsecast, right here on arseblog.com. I hope you're well. I've been sitting here for the last little while wondering how exactly it is you start an Arsecast like this one after the week we've had. We were all hoping to be here, waving imaginary Carling cups above our head, going, yay, no longer can the media go on with it. It's been 5 years, 8 months, 7 days, 12 hours, 16 seconds since Arsenal last won a trophy. And now they can. And as well as that, they can say, and you know, they got to the final, and they lost to Birmingham too. I mean, which is all understandable, I suppose. But I was hoping it would be more like when you went to the cinema as a kid, and we could be sitting here today, and you know when you came out of the cinema and you saw a film, and you were going, what's your favourite bit? Oh, my favourite bit was this. Oh, what's your favourite bit? Oh, I remember when that guy did that. Well, that was my favourite bit. No, mine wasn't it. I remember going to see Rocky 3, I think it was, in the Green Cinema here in Dublin. And we came out of the cinema and it was, oh, what's your favourite bit? And one guy goes, oh, do you remember that bit where he... And he turned around face first into a big concrete lamppost, which was quite hilarious, especially as it was his birthday and his nose was gushing blood and all that kind of stuff. On reflection, I should have probably laughed more than I did at the time. Showed some concern, as you do on a guy's birthday, but it really was very, very funny. But we don't have the chance to do that, what was your favourite bit, because you don't really have a favourite bit when you lose a cup final, and especially when you lose a cup final in the way that we lost it. Winning cup finals in the final minute is absolutely fantastic. Thank you, Andy Linegan. Losing them in the last minute is particularly painful. We all know about Naeem. And now we can add 48-year-old Obafemi Martins to the list of players who have caused us great distress. On the day, what can you say? We didn't really play our football. We didn't really get going. The absence of Cesc was a factor, I think. The absence of Walcott a factor as well. The fact that Van Persie clobbered himself, scoring the goal and had to go off. And take those three out of any team and... you know they'll struggle, but I think we could have done better overall. And despite the pain of it, and I know that it was very painful for everybody, it really was just a freakish cock-up between defender and goalkeeper, which cost us the game. I know they hit the post, but Foster had a load of saves to make. We didn't necessarily dominate the game, but it's a cup final. Anything can happen. Unfortunately, anything did. Koscielny and Szczesny, well... you'd have to say the communication probably wasn't as good as it should have been. My own thoughts on that particular goal are that when the defender's in that position, you ignore the goalkeeper and you just boot it clear. And afterwards, if the goalkeeper's giving out to you, well, that's fine. But when the ball is in the stand, it can't trickle into the path of an elderly gentleman who can just tap it home to win a cup final for a team who really did put the Ming in Burham. Lee Bowyer, Ferguson, whatever his name is, Finbar or something, and Alex McLeish, who looks more and more like Hans Moleman every day. He's sort of sinking into himself and scrunching up like a big peanut left out in the sun. But what can you do? The good times and the bad times. That's what football's all about. Been having a few too many of the bad times recently, but we're still in Premier League contention after a midweek win for Chelsea against Manchester United, which was hilarious from the point of view that guy Luiz should have been sent off. and everybody saw that he should have been sent off, and he didn't get sent off. And Ferguson went mental, despite the fact that Rooney should have been sent off at the weekend and got away with it. And the penalty, well, it didn't really look like a penalty to me, but it was a good result for us, because it means that we're just 4 points behind United with a game in hand and still with United to play. So that's very good. And we've got the Champions League. Well, for now, you know, we've got Champions League. We're still in the Champions League until Tuesday at least. That was 9 days of being in three competitions. And then, well, Manchester United in the FA Cup. So it is still a lot to play for. At the same time, a lot could go wrong in the next little while, but we shan't think about that. No. Joining me now in a few moments' time to talk about all the bits and pieces, Gilberto Silva from gunnerblog.com. We've got Internet Joe now in a moment. Arshavin is here. We'll be looking ahead to the Sunderland game at the weekend, some team news, and looking ahead to the Barcelona game as well. But to pick us up somewhat from the disappointment of Sunday was the midweek game against Leighton Orient, and that was good, in a way, because it was the second string out again, 10 changes from the Carling Cup final team, and they actually came in and did a job and played well and scored goals, and in the absence of Van Persie, we needed to see that. 5-0, and I don't think it was a particularly unflattering scoreline in any way. I think we deserved the win. You could ask why we didn't do that in the first place, but had we not done that in the first place, had we not drawn that game, we'd be going into this weekend's game against Sunderland without the little fillip that that provided. The little bit of confidence boosting that it gave us. And perhaps it would be a little bit more worrying than it was. And it sets up that quarterfinal against Manchester United at Old Trafford next weekend. And I have to say, I've got kind of a good feeling about that game. I don't know why. I just sort of feel something in my waters. So I do. Could be any number of ailments, of course, but I'm hoping it's a good sign for the game at Old Trafford. Anyway, before we talk to Gilberto Silva, here's the roundup from Internet Joe.
Oh, I'm Internet Joe, and here's my 32nd roundup. Carling Cup final. Come on, lads, a chance to get that time without a trophy in the past. 6 decades without winning anything. It's not good enough for Arsenal. You know it's not good enough. Oh, that's not a great start. 1-0 down. We're definitely going to lose. Robin, get in there. That's it. We're going to go on and win this now. There's only one team that can win it. Foster, you can't stop making saves. Looks like we're going to have to win this one on penalties. Heading to extra time. Ball comes in. Koscielny, Chesney, no danger.
No. Poor old Internet Joe. Not even a couple of hours on chat roulette after the final could perk him up. Anyway, he'll be back on next week's show. Still to come, looking ahead to the Sunderland and the Barcelona games. Some team news involved there as well. Some of it good, some of it a little bit scary, but we'll touch on that a bit later on. But to talk about the Carling Cup and what lies ahead, I'm joined now by Gilberto Silva from gunnerblog.com. Hello there.
Hello there.
Here we are almost a week after the final at Wembley on Sunday, and I don't know, what are your thoughts about it in the cold light of a day after the day after another day? Obviously, it was hugely disappointing. I'm interested to hear what you think now.
It was a hugely disappointing day. The performance was poor, the result was poor. Though I have to say, it didn't compare. So if you think about some of the finals that we've lost in recent years, particularly obviously 06 in Paris, and even the 07 Carling Cup to Chelsea, the actual defeat was not as painful. And I think that stems from, I suppose, the fact that I think in their heart of hearts, Arsenal fans knew that the League Cup was only ever a stepping stone. And I think there is an argument in some ways that means that losing it's not been as bad a thing for us. Certainly it meant more to Birmingham. And I think the sad thing is that you could see that on the pitch. At the end of the day, though, you know, we had a good week in the league. Man U lost at Chelsea. And we've still got three competitions, three fronts to fight on. So I think Arsenal fans are not particularly despondent. I think it was, to be honest, a situation where it was a little bit embarrassing to lose, but not that painful.
I mean, is there maybe just a little bit of excuse making, though, because going into the game, everyone was saying, well, it's not just the Carling Cup. It's a tournament and it's a trophy and a chance to put some silverware in the cabinet. We haven't done it for X amount of years. And, you know, I don't know. I don't want to say.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I know what you're saying. It's like, you know, if we'd won it, we'd be crying about it. And because we haven't, we're sort of playing it down.
Mm.
And I do think there's probably an element of that. It's certainly not not conscious on my part. But I do feel that ultimately, if it was that big a deal, I would be more upset.
That's
the way I look at it. You know, from my personal perspective, as soon as I left the ground, I sort of, I was almost able to laugh at the manner in which we managed to throw that away. I'm sure there are many Arsenal fans who couldn't, who were just too irritated by what had gone on. But there was something absurd about the idea that once we finally actually put some stock in this competition and we managed to screw it up at the last second, having put quite a lot of resource into it. There was something quite almost funny about that. But I do think that essentially, it would have been a great thing for the club. It would have been a good thing for this team particularly. And it does concern me that they failed to get over the line again. I think part of the attitude, rather than sort of covering up our disappointment, I think it's also the knowledge that we cannot afford to be disappointed. With the league still very much on the cards, with the Champions League still in the balance with a tie against Barcelona, and the FA Cup, we obviously got through the replay, so we'll now go to Old Trafford. There's no point sitting around and bemoaning this team. We have to get behind them. We have to hope that they can put it right before May, which is a good thing, because often when you lose a trophy or lose a final, you have to wait a year to set it right again.
Mm. I mean, there is the response thing, and that's what we're all looking for over the next few weeks. We've no real measure of how the team have been affected, because the team that played against Orient, there were 10 changes. It was nice to see them come in and click and do a job, but we haven't seen really what impact that might have. And I think we'll probably get a better idea this weekend against Sunderland. It is really, really important, and we tend to say this a lot about Arsenal and about the way we cope with various disappointments, but we seem maybe to say it too much, that we've got to see how we respond and the important thing is that we learn from this, etc., etc. In the same way you talk about how there's no time to sit around feeling sorry for ourselves, do you get the sense that there is that within the squad itself, the ability to compartmentalise what's gone on, and despite the fact that Sunday was a big, big disappointment, that they too can move on and look at the FA Cup and look at the Premier League, and like you say, we've had a fantastic week with United losing.
I think so, and I think, you know, this Saturday it's the Premier League once again, and I think particularly in that competition we have a strong chance. You know, having to go away to New Camp and away to Old Trafford, there's nothing really that we can count on in the Cups. You know, we couldn't count on beating Birmingham, so that tells you pretty much everything. But I think in the league, with United having lost that game, with them going to Anfield this weekend, I think the players and the manager sense there is an opportunity there. And it undoubtedly means more to them than a cup competition. Whether or not it should is a different matter. You know, Arsene was talking in the week saying the league is everything because it shows you've been consistent over 38 games as opposed to, you know, half a dozen. And I think that if we in May can lift that trophy, obviously the events of last weekend will be swiftly forgotten. As regards whether or not the team have the capacity to recover from that kind of defeat, I think it comes down to individuals. I mean, Arsene's talked about Koscielny and Chesney very much feeling, particularly Koscielny, you know, feeling a sort of a guilt, a pain after what occurred in the last couple of minutes there. And I think there's a big responsibility on those individuals to come back out and come back out fighting. And, you know, what better way to do that than at the New Camp next Tuesday, or what worse way, depending on how you look at it.
It seems to be the defeat was rather exacerbated by the injury to Robin Van Persie, scoring a goal, and it's so typical of his Arsenal career that at a time when he's flying and banging in goals, he picks up another injury which could leave him out for, you know, 4 weeks, maybe a bit longer. But what we have to look for now, I think, is for Bentner and Shamak to really pick up the reins. And Bentner showed on Wednesday night, you know, that he knows where the goal is. Obviously, it's Orient, and he's got to do it against a bigger opposition. Shamak played very well for the first part of the season and sort of fell by the wayside a bit, and was a victim, I suppose, of Van Persie's form and success and talent and ability and all that kind of stuff. But perhaps we are in a slightly stronger position than we were last season, when Van Persie's absence affected the team much more than we hope it will this time.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, Van Persie's injury problems are one of the big reasons that we moved to sign Shamak, I think. And, I mean, I do think it's a blow to lose Van Persie and Walcott at the same time. I mean, that's two-thirds of the front three that started against Barcelona in the first leg. It's a huge blow, because what they offer, it's a point that a good player often makes. If you have a front three of Nasri, Van Persie and Walcott, you've got a guy who's got wonderful ability to link the play, a guy who's got great dribbling ability, and then someone who's very, very quick, lovely sort of balance, a tall player, quick player, skillful player. And I think that without that, you know, we do slightly lack that without those individuals. And Walcott particularly really was a threat to Barcelona, obviously away at the Nou Camp and at home, in fact, last season, and in the first half against them at the Emirates this time round. So I think losing that pair is a big blow. I hope that Marouane Chamakh can take this opportunity to start showing some of that early season form, because whilst I do like Bentner, I think Bentner's, you know, a good player, and he will always score goals at any level against any opposition. He scored at the Nou Camp last year, of course. I think
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently: Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Chamakh serves the team a little better in the central role, but at the moment, if you had to pick a player on form, there's no doubt that Dane would get the nod, and I suppose with just one game before the Nou Camp, there's not really time for Chamakh to turn that around.
We've got two massively important games now. The good work that was done for us by Chelsea in midweek by beating Manchester United means that, I know it's a trite thing to say with so many games to play, but it is in our hands, in the sense that if we win our games, and if we, you know, we've got that game in hand on Manchester United, if we win them all, we're gonna win the league. Now, to go between now and the end of the season winning every game, I think, is completely unrealistic. However, it does provide, again, perhaps a bit of a boost from the disappointment of Sunday, and it might enable them to go on and, you know, take some motivation from that. And then, of course, there's the game against Barcelona next week. So, looking ahead to the Sunderland game first, what sort of a response are you looking for? What sort of a performance are you expecting from the team? Because very often you hear talk of how they're, you know, you might have one eye on Europe in the week. They really can't afford to do that.
No, I mean, a Sunderland fan was speaking to me, saying, oh, do you think you'll rest some players before Barcelona? I would say there's absolutely no chance of that, really. I think the only player who might not play could is Cesc Fabregas. I think there's a possibility he could play on Saturday, but I don't think that risk will be taken. I think that it will be the strongest possible lineup apart from that, and it's essential that we get 3 points. We do seem to say this a lot. We talk about bouncing back, and we also end up saying it doesn't matter what the score is, you know, as long as we get the result. And I think at this stage of the season, that is a truism. You know, it's something that we have to deliver. We have to get those 3 points. Otherwise, it will feel like that result, that Chelsea result against United, sort of counts for nothing. Like I say, United are going to Liverpool, so there's a possibility that they could drop more points there. So hopefully this will be a pivotal weekend for us and for the title race.
And Europe, it's so difficult to predict what we might do over there. We have a lead, so there isn't any real need for us to go there and be gung-ho. It doesn't suit us, obviously, to sit back and defend because, you know, we can't do that at the best of times. It's about finding the balance, I suppose, between holding on to the lead that we've got and knowing that another goal would make life quite difficult for Barcelona.
It's a very difficult, it's a new challenge for this team in some respects, and one that I'm fascinated to see how they face. I mean, you'll be expecting and hoping for big performances from the defensive players, the likes of Alex Song, the likes of Yoann Giroud, Bakary Sagna, these guys. I mean, it's a really big ask because it's difficult to imagine any Barcelona game in which the opposition manages to keep a clean sheet. So I do think that, you know, we may have an onus to go and score a goal because at the end of the day, they've got an away goal. So I think that Arsenal will go out and look to just to keep the ball really as best as we can against them. And if we can fashion an opportunity, then so much the better. I still think it is a huge ask. I don't think that we should let the euphoria that surrounded the first win over Barcelona cloud the fact that for periods of that game, they were outstanding and they remain an absolutely fantastic team. It's a big, big, big challenge. Bigger than the one that we faced in the first leg.
What about their defensive issues? Because we know that Piqué is suspended, Puyol might not make it, Valdez is out.
Yeah, I think goalkeeper certainly is an area that we could look at targeting. I think that Abidal, I think it's quite easy that we say, oh, Abidal might be a weak link, but I think people who've watched Barcelona say he's had a very, very good season and a lot of his best games have been at centre-back. If Puyol is not ready, then I'm not sure, will it be Milito or someone like that who comes in? I couldn't claim to know. But they, I think that the problem with Barcelona is that they keep the ball so well that you only get so many opportunities to get at them. What we have to make sure is that Cesc Fabregas is fit, Sami Nasri is fit. If those two can take the opportunities that they'll get, and if we get that away goal. I mean, if Arsenal score the first goal in that game, then Barcelona are in big, big, big trouble and they will have to come forward and leave space on the break. I think that with it just being one goal at the moment, they can afford to be quite patient and that could be problematic for us because if they score late on, say, Arsenal are suddenly on their way out of the competition and needing to go for it. So I think that it will be... I actually am not football manager, thank God, because I have no idea what the best way to cope with that tactical conundrum is. Basically, if we sit back and try and defend, we leave ourselves in danger of going out to a single goal, you know, that could come at any point in the game.
Yeah.
If we go forward, then we can get the away goal that cancels out Barcelona's. But obviously, you know, we'll leave ourselves exposed at the back, and that's never a good thing with this team. So you never know. I mean, I do think that it's a big, big ask still. But I think that there's no reason that we can't do it. I certainly think we're capable of scoring there, but I think we will need to go through.
All right, okay, we better leave it there. I'll take a boring 0-0, to be honest, but I don't suspect the 0-0 would be in any way boring, considering the repercussions of one Barcelona goal.
That would be fantastic. Yeah, I mean, with the 0-0 that we had at home to Real Madrid a few years ago, yeah, was one of the greatest occasions at Ibra. I mean, that was absolutely extraordinary. If we didn't have a night like that, that would be fantastic. But yeah. I tell you, it'll need an uncharacteristically brilliant defensive display for us to do that. But you never know. We might have it in us.
You never do. All right, Gilberto Silva from Gunnerblog, thanks very much.
It's a pleasure.
Of course, you can find Gilberto Silva at gunnerblog.com or on Twitter, twitter.com/gunnerblog. Now, before we look ahead to the feast of football that awaits us in the next 7 days, here's Arshavin.
Hello, I am Arshavin, and this week, don't want to talk football because I'm depressed. After cup final, is terrible. Awful thing to witness Lee Bowyer happy. Not good. So this week I answer question that you have sent. First question from Anna. Andre, I am biggest fan in all world. Would you please sign autograph on my anus? Yes, Anna, I will sign autograph, but only problem is only have brown pen, so might not show up. Second question. Robert asks, hello, Andre. Do you like Star Wars? And do you think there is life in space? Star Wars? Not so much, but have lived with Eboe for 2 years. Make me think any life in space possible. Next question from Eric. Andre, have you ever considered geopolitical imagery that is present in works of Tolstoy and compared them with anarcho-pacifist symbolism which can be found in many private essays of Chekhov? Shut up, Eric. Final question. Come from Anonymous. We are too Polish and we work in a company and have made big mistake which cost company contract. What do you think we should do? I wish I had recent experience of situation like this, but my advice is to forget what happened, to concentrate on future, and try to make things better. Also, don't come near my house. You made Lee Boyer happy.
More from Arshavin on another Arscast in the very near future. Now, Orient in midweek was one thing. An FA Cup replay against a lower league side who had pretty much spent themselves in the first leg. Well, that's one thing, and one way of getting back on the horse and having a little gallop. Not a gallop. What's that thing you do when you don't quite... Well, you trot. That's it. It's like really crap galloping. So you trot about the place on the horse, and you're back on the horse, and you don't fall off, and that's what Wednesday night was all about. However, what lies ahead is much more testing and much more difficult. Sunderland at home, well, they're a good team on their day. We know they are. They can score goals. They've got players up front who can hurt us. And it's really, really important because the players that are going to play against Sunderland, the majority of them will have played in that Carling Cup final. And we've got to see a response from them because as disappointing and all as it was, we do have a brilliant chance in the league this season. And there's not too many games left and we can't afford to drop any points, particularly after United having dropped points in midweek. It wouldn't do to hand those points back to them. Winning on Saturday would really turn the screw and put some pressure on them, particularly as they play Liverpool at the weekend. Now, team news. Koscielny is probably out. Cesc, even though he said he might be fit, he's going to be out. Alex Song is out. Apart from that, though, I think everybody is available. And we've got Aaron Ramsey back in the squad as well, which is good news. He'll add a bit of depth to the squad heading into this final part of the season as the games begin to mount up and the injuries begin to mount up. And hopefully we won't get two more of them. But it really, really is important for the team to respond on Saturday and for the fans to respond. And, you know, if we get to within a point of Manchester United and they lose or they draw with Liverpool, then it really, really does open things up for us and provide us with that extra bit of motivation we need to go towards the league title this season. Still a long way to go and some very difficult games to come, of course. And nobody's jumping any guns, but I'd much rather be in this position than waiting for teams ahead of us to slip up. And often they've done that and we haven't taken advantage. So it's really, really important on Saturday that we do. Then, Barcelona in midweek, and well, what can you say? As we were talking to Gilberto Silva about, it's very difficult to know what to do. You're reminded of that late goal that fucking Wayne Bridge scored that time for Chelsea. One goal will knock us out, and the chances of us keeping a clean sheet against Barcelona are a bit slim, I would say. Especially at their place. Depending on how we get through Saturday in terms of injuries and all that, we'll probably have a stronger team out than we did last year. And you'd expect a better showing than last year, but at the same time, if we catch them on one of their good days when they click, then it could be very difficult indeed. I don't see them not scoring, so I think we have to score. I agree with Gilberto Silva when he says that. We've got the players who can do it. It all depends when the goal comes, of course. If we score early, it means that they've got to come at us, which they'll do anyway, but probably with a bit more abandon than they might normally do, and we can exploit the space behind them. That's where we might miss Theo Walcott, but there you go. I don't know what to think about it. It was an amazing win over them at home, but it really was only half the job. And not that it won't count for anything if we don't finish it off at their place, but it is a huge task because they're a brilliant team. And we're not necessarily as brilliant a team as they are. And we're missing Robin Van Persie and we're missing Theo Walcott, and hopefully we'll have Cesc back. Alex Song is a bit of a doubt. He's going to have some tests. So hopefully he'll play because I think he's important. But it's going to be a huge game, a really, really exciting game, and one you hope that we can acquit ourselves well in whatever the outcome. We at least give them a game, because last year, well, it wasn't. It was a bit of a spanking. We took a spanking. Our pants were pulled down in full view of the world, and yeah, we got paddled. And it wasn't much fun. All the beer before, after was good. That was good. And those that are going, I'm very jealous and enjoy, particularly the cocktails served by men in tuxedos. You enjoy those. But let's hope that the team can put on a bit of a show. And then, of course, next weekend, we're into FA Cup quarterfinals. So who knows? This time next week, we could be on top of the world, full of confidence, or we could be sort of clinging on a bit. Let's hope it's the former. So let's get this week behind us. We could do it saying goodbye to a losing cup final week, and let's hope we can end it in better style than we began it with 3 points against Sunderland. So until next week's Arscast, take it easy. Safe travels to all of you that are heading Spainwards. Talk to you on next week's show. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Hello everyone, Tony Adams here with another poem for the Arscast. This week I look back at Wembley in an Ode to a Cup Final entitled Ode to a Cup Final. And it goes a little bit like this. Oh Cup Final, you're supposed to be a day of joy with a nice silver toy to inspire a boy. Instead, you were a day of dread that wrecked my head. Oh, Koscielny, oh, Krzyzewski, the cup is lost to a team managed by the man from CSI Miami. It's a tragedy. I wish Gloria Estefan was still with us. Thank you very much.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.